and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm sitting here as usual with my good friend Reza. Hi, mate.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I feel good, but a bit hungry because I'm smelling that delicious sea bass that Angeles is cooking.
Ah, the lubina, the fish.
Yeah, the sea bass, which we will be eating quite soon. So what about making this podcast a little bit shorter? Because the shorter the podcast, the sooner I get to eat the sea bass.
20 minutes?
Yeah, that'll do.
If you're a new listener, si estás escuchando por la primera vez, en este podcast intentamos mejorar tu inglés y subirlo al siguiente nivel. Y a mi español también. Tal vez un episodio puedo decir bien mejorar. Vamos a ver. Feedback and news. We have a question from Wesling Rojas, who says, I want to improve my speaking, but I don't know how to do it. Please, just give me some advices.
Can I start with the golden rule for idiots?
1 second. Advices?
Oh, he said advices.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Pieces of advice, or just advice.
Yeah.
The word advice is uncountable, Wesley, so it can never be with a plural S. If you want to make it countable, you have to say a piece of advice.
A piece of advice or some advice. Yeah.
Okay.
So just give me some advice. Well,
golden rule number one for idiots. I'm not saying you're an idiot. I mean, everyone should know this. Speak.
You have to practice. Don't be afraid of making mistakes.
Speak. I honestly do come across students who say, I want to improve my speaking. I say, well, do you speak? They go, no, because, and I say, oh, don't be an idiot. Speak. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say ridiculous things. There are going to be times when nobody understands you. There are going to be times when people laugh at you because you've said something funny which you didn't intend to say. But I'm afraid that's bad luck. You have to speak.
You can't make an omelette if you don't break a few eggs. No puedes hacer una tortilla si no rompes algunos huevos. Mm-hmm. You have to try.
But who can you speak to, Craig?
Good question. Well, obviously the expensive and best solution is to go on a plane and fly to an English-speaking country, somewhere like the UK or America, Canada, Australia, anywhere that's near to where you're listening to this podcast, that you can go and immerse yourself totally in the language is the best solution. But, of course, many people are working. Maybe they don't have the money or resources, and they can't do this. So one possibility is find English people in your area. And if you live in Spain, for example, there are areas of Spain, like the Costa Blanca, in Andalusia, in the south. There are groups of expatriates who live in communities, and they go to the same bars and restaurants. So you can find these places, go to a quiz night, go to a social event, and open conversation, entablar conversación with English speakers.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good idea, Craig. Another possibility is to go to a language exchange, un intercambio.
Right.
They're often organized in cafes or pubs or social clubs. And what happens in a language exchange, un intercambio? You find someone who speaks English as their first language, and you then will speak your language, which for you will be Spanish. And there are different ways of doing it. Some people decide, okay, let's speak only in English for half an hour, and then only in Spanish for half an hour. Okay. Or it could be 5 minutes English, 5 minutes Spanish. 5 minutes English, 5 minutes Spanish. 5 minutes English, 5 minutes Spanish. Or it could be 1 week, all English. The other week, only Spanish. Whatever.
That's a very good suggestion.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Well, Craig, that's quite a few examples for our listeners to think about. You can find them written in the show notes.
Also in the show notes, you'll find a sponsor link to our wonderful sponsors, iTalki. So we'd like to remind you that if you're a new listener, that if you're interested in improving your English with a one-to-one teacher, then you can go to iTalki's website and find a native English speaker to help you improve your English on a one-to-one basis over the internet. It's very convenient. You can study when you want to at your home. And it's very affordable because obviously there's no language school. You're dealing directly with the teacher and you get a very good price for one-to-one teaching. If you'd like to find more information of how you can improve your English with iTalki, they are offering a free lesson, 100 credits, if you sign up through our website. So go to englishpodcast.com/italki and sign up today, try it, see if you like it, and please tell us about your experience if you use an iTalki teacher. We'd love to hear how you're getting on, if you like it, what you don't like about it, what you like about it. Please give us your feedback if you meet an iTalki teacher online. And we'd like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Any other ideas?
Not a new idea, but I'd just like to specify what we said earlier about the best way is to speak to a native speaker. Mm-hmm. Okay. Best of all, if you can do it in an English speaking country. But if you can't, you can speak to a native speaker in Spain or where you live. The best way of all, if you can't leave your country, is find a foreign boyfriend or girlfriend who speaks English and live with them. Craig does it. I've done it. For us, it helped us to learn Spanish. At the minute, Craig is living with the lovely Angeles. But you know what, ladies? I'm not living with anyone. Craig, can you remind the ladies out there of my email address?
Yes, if you want to contact Razor for English conversation.
But you have to live with me for a couple of years.
And he is a very good cook as well as being a good English teacher. So there's two reasons to do it. You can contact Reza at Reza. Was it Reza Belfast or Belfast Reza?
Belfast Reza.
Belfast Reza at gmail.com for English practice.
I hope you realize I am joking.
No, you're not.
I am joking.
No,
but I am not joking when I say that living with an English speaking boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife is the best way to improve your speaking, if it's an English-speaking country. And for me, I did the opposite. I did it to speak Spanish in a Spanish-speaking country, and your vocabulary gets really good, particularly vocabulary of arguments. I am now extremely good at having an argument in Spanish because I've lived with a Spanish woman. I can argue very well in Spanish. Thank you very much for that, Spanish woman.
There you go. But sometimes you cannot find a native speaker. So there are alternatives. If you have a group of people who you're studying with or who you're working with, you could arrange to meet some colleagues or some friends once a week and only speak English for an hour. So you'd have a once or twice a week where you'd have an English session, only speaking in English. And they're not native speakers, but you are still speaking English. You can correct each other. You can learn from each other. And all you have to do is organize it. And of course, that will be free. And in your home, just speak to your family in English, even if they answer you in Spanish. Now, that's a bit strange, but try it for a couple of days. Only speak to your family in English. Record your voice as well and play it back. So listen to yourself being recorded. Listen to the way you speak English and try to correct and improve yourself. That's another way to improve your speaking. Anyway, thank you for the question, Wessling. And all of the links will be, as usual, in the show notes. So moving on to grammar, and Reza, you're going to speak about the difference between too and enough, T-double-O, too and enough, demasiado.
Yes. Some students complain that they have to learn too much grammar, but English teachers often say, oh, you can never have enough grammar. We love teaching grammar. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't enjoy teaching grammar, so I think you can have too much grammar. So two would be demasiado, too much, and enough, no bastante, or bastante.
Bastante. Yeah. So that's T-double-O, not T-O, T-double-O, two. Well, let's give a few sentences. Craig, I dress very badly, as you know, because good clothes are too expensive for me. Mm-hmm. Designer clothes, ropa de marca, they're too expensive or too dear. Demasiado caro para mí. Too dear. I put the word too before the adjective dear or expensive. So too goes before adjectives. It also goes before adverbs. I can't understand you. You're speaking too quickly. Demasiado mm-hmm. rapidamente.
She drives too fast.
Too fast. Example. Also rapidamente. Yeah? Mm. It doesn't look like an adverb, but it is. Fast is an adverb. So too goes before an adjective or an adverb.
You're too kind.
Oh, thank you. Now, enough goes after adjectives. Imagine it's winter in Britain. So it's snowing outside, very cold.
Are you
and warm? You're in my house. And exactly.
Are you warm enough?
Are you warm enough? ¿Tienes bastante calor? ¿Estás bastante calentito aquí?
Is your coffee strong enough?
Exactly. So we're putting strong or warm, those adjectives, before the word enough. And enough means bastante. Okay? Enough often goes with a negative, no bastante. Imagine I say to you, are you warm enough? And you say, no, actually, I'm a little bit cold. I am not warm enough. Mm-hmm. I am cold. No, lo bastante o lo suficientemente.
So you could say that teachers and podcasters do not get paid enough.
Exactly. But
podcasters definitely don't get paid enough.
That's interesting there. So you brought up the next thing I wanted to talk about. You've actually used a verb there with not enough. You said that podcasters do not get paid enough. Get paid, that's a verb. Mm-hmm. You can also use enough with a verb. It usually goes after the verb. So not get paid enough. Or here's another one. You are not studying enough, said the teacher. So you are not studying, that's a verb, plus enough. Mm. However, my good student, she is studying enough. Sí que estudia bastante, lo suficientemente. So enough can be positive or negative, both are common, and it goes after an adjective or an adverb or after a verb. And two, as we said earlier, goes before an adjective or an adverb. Craig, I don't want to talk too much, so maybe should I leave too much and too many for the next episode? Have we done enough for now?
I think we have. We can come back to too and enough in a later episode, but that's given you an idea of when to use too, demasiado, and enough, bastante. Do you think we've spoken enough about that?
I do.
So that's after the verb then, spoken enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've spoken enough. Let's move on. In the vocabulary section this episode, we could speak about religion.
Ooh.
Couldn't we?
Yes.
Religion.
We better be careful what we say, though.
We will be careful.
It's a controversial topic, isn't
it? We'll only look at the vocabulary and we will express no opinions. Because it's a very delicate subject. Religion is the noun, of course, and religious is the adjective. So a religious person follows religion. So let's first look at different religions.
What religions do you know about, Craig?
Well, there's the Christian religion, and there are Catholics and Protestants.
Hold on. So there are two types of Christian. There are two main types.
There are many, but the main types are Catholics and Protestants.
Uh-huh. Also Orthodox, right?
Yes, Greek Orthodox. Right. Yeah. And a person who follows that religion is a Christian.
Okay. Catholics and Protestants, they're more or less the same, yeah? For example, if you live in Northern Ireland and you're a Catholic or a Protestant, it's no big deal.
They're very friendly, aren't they?
Friendly.
They get on very well. Llevan bien los dos.
In most places, Northern Ireland, perhaps not always as they should. Yeah. What about, you're from England. Is England a largely Catholic or Protestant country?
Well, it's mainly Protestant, but it's a multicultural society these days. So, of course, you have Protestants, you have Catholics, you have Jews who follow the religion called Judaism, and you have Muslims who follow the religion called Islam.
So if you follow Christianity, you're a Christian.
Right.
If you follow, if you're a Muslim, what religion do you follow?
Islam.
Ah, so the word for the person is Muslim, but the religion is Islam.
And the adjective is Islamic. So it's an Islamic faith. And faith is faith. And faith is something you have. So faith is a noun, and you have faith. It's something you have, que tienes. You have faith in God. You have faith in your religion.
So a Muslim follows Islam. A Christian follows Christianity. What about the name for the people who follow Judaism?
Jews.
Can you spell it?
J-E-W-S. Jews. Jewish people, but Jews is the common term. Now, the verb for rezar, you know.
Yeah, my favorite Spanish word is, if you translate from English, the imperative, pray.
Reza.
Reza. Or reza.
Which is your name.
Ah, great word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Reza. That's a great word. Pray.
So in English, to pray. And perhaps it'll be interesting to look at where these different religions pray.
Aha. Let's start with one we haven't mentioned yet. Where do Hindus pray?
That's a good question. Hindus pray in a
temple. A Hindu temple.
A Hindu temple, you're right. Although temple could be used for many religions, because yes. I know that in American English, a temple is where Jews pray. Although in the UK, it's called a synagogue, mm-hmm. which has a difficult spelling, S-Y-N-A-G-O-G-U-E. Mm-hmm. So synagogue is sometimes called a temple in the US.
Uh-huh. And Hindus follow Hinduism, which is a religion which is found mostly in India. Can you think of another religion we haven't mentioned yet, which was born in India?
Buddhism.
Yes.
And a person who follows Buddhism is a
Buddhist.
Yes.
Can you spell Buddhist?
B-U-D-D-H-I-S-M. Buddhism.
That's it, double D. Yeah. Mm. Buddhism started in India, but it's more common in certain other countries now. What countries have a lot of Buddhists?
Japan has a lot of Buddhism. A lot of Buddhists. And countries like Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, they have a lot of Buddhists.
What about China?
China has some Buddhists and some Christians and quite a few. Is it Maoists?
Uh-huh.
I think. Not too sure.
A Maoist is someone who follows Chairman Mao, right?
Chairman Mao, yeah. And it's,
but, well, that's a bit old-fashioned now, isn't it, to be a Maoist? Yeah. But there are a few, I guess.
But because of communism, religion was frowned upon for what it was. It was not approved of for many years in China.
Mm. In fact, I would say today the majority of Chinese people I've met, and I've met a lot teaching English, are no religion. And what's the word for that?
An agnostic.
Mm-hmm. An agnostic. Or an atheist.
Or an atheist. What's the difference between agnostic and atheists?
I think an agnostic is someone who is not sure or not convinced that there is a God.
So they're waiting for proof. Están esperando pruebas para ver si o no.
They haven't decided yet, so they don't follow any religion.
And an atheist says absolutely not, God does not exist.
They've decided, yeah. The spelling of atheist could be tricky. For some Spanish listeners, can you spell it?
A-T-H-E-I-S-T.
Atheist.
And agnostic, A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C. How would you describe yourself? What religion?
Agnostic.
Agnostic.
I haven't decided yet.
Me too, actually. I'm waiting for proof. So where do these people pray? Well, I'm sure you know that Christians pray in a church. A church. Be careful of the vowel sound. That's like nurse or turn, church. Where do Muslims pray?
In a mosque.
M-O-S-Q-U-E.
That's it. What about
Jews? I always confuse the Spanish word for mosque with the Spanish word for mosquito.
So mosque is mezquita. A mosquito is mosquito.
Mosquito and mezquita.
Okay.
Mosquito, mezquita. Yeah, but that's me. Jews pray in a synagogue or a temple, as we said before.
Okay.
And Buddhists?
Also a temple.
Also a temple. Like a Buddhist or a Hindu temple.
Or one other, which is very popular in India, and you can find a lot of people who follow this religion in Britain, is Sikhism.
Sikhism, yeah.
If you're a Sikh, That's S-I-K-H. If you're a man and you're a Sikh and you're religious, you will wear a turban on your head in public.
Yeah, a big turban times. Because they cannot cut their hair, so their hair is typically very long and they cover it with cloth, which is called a turban.
They cannot cut it and they cannot reveal it in public.
That's right.
It's strange because we identify Muslims and some Christians or Christians in the past as covering women's hair.
Mm-hmm.
But for Sikhs, men cover their hair. Women can reveal their hair in public. It's curious.
It is curious, yeah. And let's finally look at different religious figures, different people who represent or counsel for that particular religion. For example, I get confused sometimes with the different terms, like the difference between a vicar and a priest and a minister.
Me too. I'm no expert. But usually when we say priest, we're referring to, in English-speaking countries, Catholicism. A Catholic priest.
A Catholic priest.
We don't say a Protestant priest unless it's Church of England can be a priest, can't it? The Anglican Church?
I think so. So priest is cura.
Yes. Or sacerdote.
And vicar?
A vicar then is only going to be a Protestant, not a Catholic.
Okay.
A vicar is like the equivalent of a priest, but purely Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we said earlier, in the United Kingdom, and indeed the United States, the majority of people are Protestants, although there are a lot of other religions.
That's true. So how could you say in English, monja, in monje?
Aha. For a man, monk, M-O-N-K. And for a woman?
Nun. So a monk would typically live in a monastery and a nun would typically live in a...
Convent.
I thought you were going to say nunnery. A convent.
Craig, can you always have a good conversation with a monk?
Can you always have a good conversation with a monk? That sounds like a joke.
No, it's not a joke. With some monks, I'm sure you can have a very good conversation. But other monks have taken a vow of silence. They may not speak.
A promise of silence. They don't speak.
A vow, yeah. Promise. V-O-W, vow equals promise. A vow of silence. Mm-hmm. They have promised that they will not speak.
Which is also common in Buddhism. Many Buddhists also do not speak and meditate for months or even years without speaking to anybody.
So there are Buddhist monks as well.
There are Buddhist monks.
And Buddhist nuns. Is it the monks or nuns or both who shave all their hair off? Buddhist monks shave their hair off, don't they?
That's right.
Off their head.
Yeah.
So they're all bald. They shave the hair off.
Yeah.
Men and women?
I'm not sure. I know the men do, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure about the women. In fact, in the countries I visited, it's more common to see monks studying Buddhism and in... Buddhist temples than women. So I haven't seen many women studying Buddhism.
Okay. And isn't orange a colour which is associated with Buddhist monks?
Yeah, it's a holy colour. So it's associated with Buddhism.
Okay.
As a holy colour. Holy is santo.
Holy santo.
Holy father.
And what for you and for everybody is the symbol which makes you think of Christianity?
The cross.
The cross. Cruz.
Yeah. La Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's about it.
I'm off to pray to my fish because I think we've spoken enough for one episode and I'm getting too hungry.
Can I just say, copying the words of a very famous Irish comedian who I loved when I was a kid, a guy called Dave Allen, goodbye and may your God go with you.
That's very nice. Yeah. Goodbye and may your God go with you. So it's goodbye from my God.
And it's goodbye from his God.
Goodbye. We'll see you in the next episode. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.